Franklin Motors, West Knoxville. Bear, I'm looking at some of the guys, some of the sales guys. They're sitting out on the stoop here at Old Franklin Motors. These guys, they all look like they're enjoying themselves outside right now.
That's hot, man.
Come do these guys a solid, man. Pick them up. Take them for a test drive. Get some AC.
The air conditioning.
Yeah, one of these new Mitsubishis, man. Crank the AC up full blast. Help my guys out here, man. They're struggling. It is hot, dude.
Oh, yeah. I was outside for a few hours earlier, but I was poolside.
Well, good for you. I had to make, you know, I'm hauling in all the stuff here to Old Bend earlier today, about half an hour ago. And, you know, I don't, I got a little sweaty. I'm going to spare you the gory details, but a little swampy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, we got that going on here this afternoon. Y'all be careful if you're out and about today, especially those of you working outdoors, listening to the radio this afternoon, just trying to make it through, man. We feel for you. You're earning that paycheck today, and we're going to be with you live for 3 hours, helping you get through it from Old Ben Franklin Motors. Oh, folks, car market crazy right now. Kind of like the house market. The place to be if you're in search, it doesn't matter, new car, used car, Old Ben Franklin Motors has it. I'm looking out at the lot right now. I see a beautiful black 2021 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport I'm looking at right now. I see a couple of other of the Outlanders down out there towards the road. So we got you covered from a new car perspective. We've got the Mirage. We've got the Eclipse. We've got the Outlander. And if you're looking for a nice used car, truck, van, SUV, we've got a great selection. Looking at the trucks, some really cool looking trucks out here on the lot this afternoon. Would love to let you test drive one of these beauties today. Come on by and see us. 9711 Kingston Pike. We're right across from Franklin Square. And you tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. We're going to hook you up. We got four free Smokies tickets to the next person to walk in this afternoon and say they're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. These are field level seat vouchers. They'll get you into any Smokies home game of your choosing. Just stop by and say you're listening today, and we will hook you up live today at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Bear, we start with sad news from the world of rock and roll.
I just found out about 10 minutes ago, and I'm heartbroken.
Yeah. Dusty Hill of ZZ Top. He's the bass player. The other guy.
50 years.
50 years he was in that band. 72, I believe.
Yes. Passed away in his sleep.
Well, we should all be so lucky, right? What a run. 72 years of rock and roll on this big loop.
Just a true prince. I had a friend, Hunter, that worked for them as their technical manager, tour manager. And just all three of them are just incredibly kind human beings. And just really sad news.
But the thing that always struck me, man, I mean, what a legacy, what a catalog to leave behind of ZZ Top. And, you know, Billy Gibbons gets all the accolades, and rightfully so, right? He's one of the greats, man. He might be on Mount Rushmore. I don't know. One of the great rock and roll guitarists of all time. But what a tight band. You talk about Frank Beard on drums, Dusty Hill, those guys could absolutely lay it down.
Oh, they just melt your face off. That's what I was going to say. Probably the tightest band that I ever listened to or heard. They're rock solid. Their early stuff, you know, they were hyper successful in the, you know, the early 70s with LaGrange and Tush and all that. And then, you know, they really had the MTV era with the videos and all that.
Some people say, oh, sell out, whatever, man. I love Eliminator. I love Legs. I love Sharp.
Oh, yeah. So it's like Jason Newsted said when people accused him and Metallica selling out, and he's like, yeah, absolutely, we sell out every single night, no matter where we play, and that's just how the great ones are. And
well, it's a beyond that. I mean, it's not just from a financial standpoint. I mean, in my opinion, they reinvented themselves and were able to change with the times and not just become dinosaurs who are out there doing the same old thing over there. You know, they kept on producing art. It was a beautiful thing.
Just incredible. Really sad day.
Yeah.
Good night, sweet prince.
Indeed. All right. Getting into the sports here this afternoon. We're jam-packed again, man. Chad Withrow is going to stop by from Outkick 360. The NBA draft is tomorrow. Derek Murray of basketballnews.com is going to stop by in hour number two to help us preview that. We're going to talk about Keon Johnson kind of tumbling down the draft board here the past week or so and where exactly that leaves him, as well as Jaden Springer and maybe even Eve Pons. So we'll get into that coming up here as we roll through the following 3 hours. But let's start as we have for the past week. Bears, a week ago today, that the college football landscape was rocked. The bombshell news dropping that Oklahoma and Texas imminently moving to the SEC. And every passing day, every passing hour, seemingly more and more news dropping, nuggets dropping, if you will. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated had a great report online earlier today where he's basically talking about what this means for the college football playoff. You know, we'd just sort of settled into, well, it's going to be 12 teams. You're going to play the quarterfinals at home on these college campuses, and then you're going to move into the bowl games. And right now it sounds like all of that is kind of on hold right now. And I think I don't know if people necessarily care. I'll be interested to hear from some listeners today, but it seems like there is a real loss of trust amongst the other commissioners and people in college football with Greg Sankey and the SEC right now.
I mean, Sankey's a gangster, Greg the gangster.
Well, I want you to think about it from this perspective. First of all, let's read this from Ross Dellinger earlier today. Okay. It's clear who the bad guys are this go-around. Commissioner Greg Sankey in the Southeastern Conference, brandished by some here as the person and the entity that helped destroy a conference, pushed college football into a mess of disruption, and compromised the expansion model. Sankey was on the four-person working group that created the 12-team proposal, leading some around college athletics to question his motives as one of the few who knew that this league, his league, would soon expand. It's fishy, says one source. It's insider trading, says another. And you know what, Bear? They're absolutely right.
Yeah, they're, but I don't care.
They're absolutely right. You don't care because it's your league and Tennessee's getting taken along for the ride and we're protected. Think about how if the shoe were on the other foot, and it's the SEC's been so dominant, but Bear, I know you're old enough to remember back in the late 90s when all the other leagues were on an equal footing, right? And there was a legitimate debate over which conference was best. You had the Big Ten would win the national championship, the Pac-12, you had Nebraska winning national championships, and the SEC was part of that, but there was no dominant league like there is now. And back in that time, there was a widespread belief amongst Tennessee fans and other fans of SEC schools that, you remember this from 97, right? The Peyton Manning Heisman Trophy fiasco. ESPN's against us. ABC's against us. Nobody respects the SEC. That was the mantra, right?
Right.
So think about it from this perspective. If it were the Big Ten that had done this, and Texas talked to the Big Ten, right? I mean, this is not far-fetched. People say, oh, that doesn't make any geographic sense. Geography doesn't play into this anymore, right? West Virginia's in the Big 12. Imagine if it had been the Big Ten that had swooped in and scooped up OU and Texas. And we find out that during the negotiations for the expansion of the college football playoff, they were secretly negotiating with those two schools to join up with them. Well, Greg Sankey is exactly what he did. And he knows the entire time while all these schools are thinking, all these other conference commissioners are thinking, oh, great, the expanded playoff is going to give us more access, more opportunity to get schools into that, compete for championships, and get more money to spread to our member institutions. All the while, Sankey knew. He knew that he was getting set to pull off this move. And I mean, he had to have known that the other leagues were going to say, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to run this 12 team playoff anymore. We're going to have to pump the brakes and explore what's best for us.
Well, like I said, he's a gangster.
We wouldn't have looked too kindly on that. So I totally get where these other leagues are coming from, man.
I do, but
we would be outraged.
You know, I had heard that the ACC had approached Oklahoma and Texas, and then right after they did, Oklahoma and Texas approached Sankey. They'd rather be in the SEC than the ACC. I don't know that anybody knows the real story. I mean, all these guys are liars, and they're all cutthroat. So who cares if the ACC and the Big Ten are pissed that we beat them to the punch? I mean, that's what Greg Sankey. It's like you said, Greg Sankey's paid to look out for the SEC member schools and to position us to be at the top. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm old enough to remember back before the 90s, the SEC was looked down upon, and we didn't have any kind of pull or swag. The Big Ten and the Big Eight and the Pac-12 got everything handed to them.
Well, my question is there such a thing as too much pull and too much swag? And I just...
Not in my book.
I wonder if this sport is getting set to devour itself, man. And I do worry about Tennessee's position in it in the long term, because there are, you know, more and more people talking about a 30-team Super League. And where does Tennessee fit into that? I don't know. And it's ridiculous to think, as we sit here today, that Tennessee could be on the outside looking in of something like this. But it would have been ridiculous 30 years ago to talk about Texas being in the SEC. And yet here we are. So, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to be the wet blanket here. I guess I am. Y'all are just going to have to deal with it. Not good for the sport, man. College football is devouring itself right before our very
eye. Yeah, but I mean, the cows are out of the barn, buddy. It's, you know, I mean, we're done. It's we're all the way down the road now.
It's a sad thing.
You're upset about it all you want. Yeah, it is. But I mean, it was over. You know, this all started back in the early 90s when we added South Carolina and Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, and look, I don't necessarily have anything against the 16-team super conference. I mean, if you have four of those and they're all equally balanced, I think that could be fun. You can preserve some of the quote-unquote regional integrity, the rivalries, things like that, and everybody have an equal chance at access, hopefully. Sure, leagues will be cyclically up and down, and SEC is good right now, might not always last, but if we get, and people are already talking about this, going to 20 teams and beyond, you get that, and you're just killing off the leagues. I mean, is the SEC, is it really going to be fun if we're just sitting here playing ourselves, or if like I say, you eventually have the College Football Super League in the Ohio States and Alabama's, Florida State's, Texas's, Oklahoma's of the world decide they're tired of sharing their money with the Tennessees and Kentuckys and NC States of the world and just band together in a super conference that doesn't include us. And that, as I say, is my big fear in all of this. But we got plenty of time to break it all down here this afternoon, live today, Old Ben Franklin Motors, online, oldbenfranklinmotors.com, if you want to shop the inventory there. Right now, we're going to take a quick timeout. Chad Withrow of Outkick 360 is set to join us. We'll get his thoughts on conference expansion, and we'll get into this Simone Biles controversy a little bit more. Interesting reactions from across the sports landscape and beyond when it comes to what's going on with her. Stay tuned. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-675-1833. That's Admiral Vet and online at admiralvet.com.
Hey, it's Bo Kregner here with the Kregner Group. If you're feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of entering the current real estate market, I'd like to invite you to give me a call for a free consultation. At the Kregner Group, we pride ourselves on making a complicated process easy for our clients. Get it listed, get it sold, and move on. That's what we do every day. Visit my website, bonoshouses.com, or call me at 865-742-1035 and let us show you real estate the right way.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression that needs to be released, and we've got just the perfect way for you to do it. Throwing axes at Craft Axe Throwing. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville on 5th Avenue, Craft Axe Throwing offers beers, seltzers, TVs, and axe throwing, and is the absolute best way to spend an evening with friends. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. Plan your visit today at craftaxethrowing.com.
Invest in your health. Live and sleep better on your new Brothers bedding mattress, made locally, two-sided, and custom-made to fit your comfort and your budget. Since 1938, Brothers Bedding has served millions and always stands behind their products with a 365-day comfort guarantee and up to 20-year non-prorated warranty. Skip the middleman and visit the factory in Knoxville to watch your mattress being made. Brothers Bedding makes your mattress the night before delivery, fresh out of the oven. Visit brothersbedding.com.
The Axe House in Sevierville and Pigeon Forge is the first place in the Smokies to incorporate food, drink, and axe throwing all in one place. If you haven't tried axe throwing yet, this is the place to do it. Family friendly, safe and fun, the Axe House is the perfect place to escape with friends for a truly unmatched entertainment experience. With locations in Sevierville and Pigeon Forge, you can't go wrong at the Axe House. Visit them online at axehousetn.com.
North Knox Siding and Windows is a complete exterior home improvement company that can help you with all your home exterior needs. If your home needs new siding, windows, doors, gutters, handrails, a deck, or a new roof, then give my friends at North Knox Siding and Windows a call at 865-689-0505. You can also visit their showroom at 5618 North Broadway. Locally owned and operated and proudly serving all of Knoxville and the surrounding areas, North Knox Siding and Windows. Online at northknoxsidingandwindows.com.
Run Radio. The drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake Miller cruising along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show, coming to you live from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville on a scorching hot Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotline, bring in Chad Withrow from Outkick 360. Good afternoon, Chad. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well. You are right. It is extremely hot here in Nashville as well as in Knoxville, but I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, I think we're around 100 on the heat index this afternoon. Great, great time to be starting Titans camp and Vols camp and all that stuff. Those guys be out there earning their money, as they say.
It's just really going to toughen them up. You know, that's the way I look at it. Like the old school coach that said water makes you weak, that we now know scientifically doesn't really work out well for athletes. I feel like the heat just really toughens these teams up. So they're going to be very tough by kickoff of the season for the Titans, Vols, and all the high school teams that are going to be practicing in this heat.
I was watching some of the tennis in the Olympics. It's going over there at Tokyo, and all the players, apparently it's like a billion degrees over there too, and they're playing these games in the middle of the day, and all the players were like, can you please play these games at night? And they said no, but I'm assuming because of TV over there, and they want to show it live or whatever. And there's some Russian dude, Medvedev, out there and the men only play the best of three sets, right? So, I mean, it's not what they're accustomed to, but still, this guy's out there, and he's calling out the trainer, and he's got heat stroke and all this stuff, and the umpire says, basically, you need to get out there, and Medvedev says, he says to him, I'll get out there, but I could die. Are you ready to have that on your conscience? he did not die, thankfully. He won the match. It was very impressive. But yeah, man, it's that time of year. I'll tell you where else it's heating up, Chad Withrow, is this conference realignment talk. It's been a while since we've had you on. Would love to get your thoughts on this. What is the OutKick 360 consensus when it comes to college football, conference expansion, and realignment?
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, the SEC and Greg Sankey are aiming for global domination of college football and college sports in return in a lot of ways. I mean, I think that if this continues, I mean, the addition of Texas and Oklahoma is huge, and it certainly makes what was the best football conference even that much more powerful. If they can get other teams to jump on board, and I know that Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC first in this situation, but if they can start adding more teams, they could basically become the governing body of college football. And Greg Sankey could become the commissioner of college football if this continues. And I really think that's where the SEC is set up. I mean, it's either get on board, and I'd say the Big Ten has claim to this also, but it's get on board with one of these conferences or jump on board the Super Conference and secure your financial future for your entire athletic department. You may not win as much. You know, you may win fewer football games in the future, but you're going to be set up to have financial success within your athletic department, you know, for a long, long time by doing so. And if not, you know, it's kind of an adapt or die type scenario. We even threw out the possibility of the Pac-12 and what's left of the Big 12 merging and forming their own 20-team super conference between those two, because these conferences are going to have to get creative at this point, because I don't foresee this being the last step in what we're going to see with conference realignment.
So it's weird calculus that these commissioners have to perform, right, where they decide, are these teams worth it to add it? Clearly, the SEC has decided it's worth adding Oklahoma and Texas. There's going to be all sorts of great regular season matchups. If you're the Pac-12, though, and you're talking about merging with the Big 12, is there a lot of value there? Yeah, you could see an Oklahoma State, maybe a West Virginia, maybe even an Iowa State making a 12-team or expanded college football playoff. But are they really going to bring that much value in terms of week-to-week matchups for TV networks to pitch to advertisers? Because it's certainly not going to be on par with what Oklahoma and Texas are bringing.
I don't think it's a slam dunk, but it gives you a shot. And right now the Big 12 doesn't have a chance. Yeah. You know, they went out and pitched their product to Fox and to ESPN and television networks, and they got told a big no, or at the very least a wait and see from everyone. And that's what, you know, started to spark this Texas-Oklahoma interest in defecting from the Big 12 for that reason. The Pac-12 has been terribly mismanaged by their leadership. I do think there's some value in some of the top football brands in that conference. But if you had a 20-team conference that consisted of the eight remaining teams in the Big 12 with the 12 teams in the Pac-12, that at least gives you some clout to go back to ESPN, to Fox, to taking a step further to Amazon, to some streaming services also, and get something done in the future that would be lucrative for all of your member institutions. Because right now, because of Pac-12 mismanagement, because of the Big 12 falling apart, those two leagues separately aren't getting as much as many interested suitors in the television market. And we know that's where a bulk of the money is coming in, is in media rights. So I think a merger like that would just, it wouldn't guarantee that they're going to be financially secure forever, but it would give them a chance with some of these media companies.
Chad Withrow, OutKick 360, with us this afternoon on the show. On the other side of the continent, what did you make of Jay Billis's proposal earlier this week that the ACC approached the SEC about a potential merger? That would certainly shake things up even more. You could be looking at, I mean, would that be a three-conference scenario at that point between the SEC, Pac-12, and Big Ten?
I mean, at that point, the Big Ten would probably need to merge with the Pac-12 and the Big 12 if they were the ones left out, if they merged with the ACC. I think we're headed in that direction. I think it's a little bit premature to jump to the ACC needs to merge with the SEC. Now, what could happen is this. Could the ACC decide to propose some sort of merger with the SEC because the SEC decides they want Clemson and Florida State in the conference, or they want Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech, let's say, to add to it and make a 20-team conference, yeah. I think at that point, the ACC better mount up and say, we can't win this war. If those four schools are leaving, we need to go ahead and propose some sort of merger with the SEC to ensure all of our programs are on the boat, that the very lucrative boat that is the SEC. I don't think we're close to that yet, but, I mean, I also don't think you're doing your due diligence as a school and as a conference if you're not looking around and at least asking some questions about where you could end up and where things are headed in your own conference.
Do you think this puts the plans for expansion to a 12-team playoff on hold? Because Greg Sankey, he was on the committee studying this and coming up with this proposal, all the while knowing that he was adding one of the teams that's been in the playoff a bunch of times in Oklahoma and another team that certainly has the potential to get there someday. If not the rest of the conference, as the TV networks have got to be taking a step back and saying, okay, wait a minute, how is this going to work, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see any reason that this would slow that down. Are you just asking that because they don't want five or six SEC teams in the tournament, which was what it would be in the playoffs?
If you're the Big Ten, the Pac-10, the ACC, you're thinking that, okay, we're going into this this new 12-team playoff as normal, but now all of a sudden the SEC is adding two teams that could very well be in it quite often. That definitely enhances their odds of getting more teams into it.
I think that if you're looking at this from a competitive standpoint, you're looking at it through the opposite lens of what schools and the conferences are looking at it. I'll use it from the Tennessee perspective. Does adding Texas and Oklahoma to the mix help Tennessee's chances of having successful football seasons? No. Does it add a lot more money to the plate? Yes. And I would say the same about a 12-team playoff. I don't think the 12-team playoff cares what conferences are in it. They just want to make more money with more teams. And if you're still going to have an automatic invite for ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, whatever's left of the Big 12. So, you know, you're guaranteed to get, what, four teams in, and then with a proposal you're going to get another group of five team in or two. So let's say that, you know, half the field is SEC, which that's what it would turn into. So it's six versus six. I don't see that being something that would stop these other conferences from wanting to get on the boat of making more money with a 12-team playoff. So, no, I don't think that would stop anyone, even though the SEC, which is dominated to begin with, you know, would continue to dominate even more with Texas and Oklahoma.
Talk with Chad Withrow of Outkick 360 here this afternoon. And Chad, we talked about the Olympics a little bit earlier. I'd be interested to know. I've not had a chance to listen to your podcast today, but I was just looking at the show notes for it. I understand you guys got into the Simone Biles thing a little bit. What has been, again, the Outkick 360 consensus there? It seems like this is one of those you either support her or you're against her with not much gray area in between.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit in the gray area, to be honest with you, which is very rare right now with anything, because my initial reaction was probably like a lot of people that are big sports fans. Why are you quitting after you just started a competition? If you're not physically hurt, that seems odd that you would bail out on your American teammates and do something like that. And then as I hear Nastia Lukin talk about it on NBC and you start to read more about it, you get the sense that because she was mentally off and she wasn't finding herself in the air, it could lead to a bad physical problem with how she could land. So that made more sense to me in terms of looking out for herself, both mentally and physically, because she just wasn't there for whatever reason. But look, I still think that I wish this is something that would have been handled before she went to the Olympics. And I think Simone Biles will eventually say the same thing. You know, knowing that, and she was saying this in the build-up to the games, that the weight of the world was on her shoulders and she wasn't quite there and she wasn't fully committed in the year and a half lead up to these Olympic games, and then gets there and then it looks like she's going to go through one apparatus and be done. It's disappointing. I mean, look, it hurt the Olympics. I don't buy this, but she did it for her team or any of that. Simone Biles not participating hurt her teammates' chances of winning gold. And they end up with a silver, and I think it's a great story for the three young ladies that were left that went out and participated. But I think it's a very complex story that, you know, gets boiled down to one of two extremes. Either Simone Biles is trash and she can't call herself the GOAT and no one ever can and no other competitor would do this, or the other side is it's brave and it's heroic and it's courageous and this and that. I think it is somewhere in the middle. I don't think there's anything brave or courageous about her decision, but I also think she fully has the right to make that decision if she feels like mentally whatever's going on could affect her and hurt her physically. Then she has every right to make that decision also. So I really do think it's somewhere in the middle.
So the next time you see a firefighter running from a burning building with a baby in its arms, you're not going to say, oh, wow, he's just like Simone Biles. That's a hero right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all these comparisons to, you know, Michael Jordan, for instance. You know, I've said it like, so Michael Jordan leaves game 7 because mentally he's out of it, or he's having a tough mental day or whatever. And then someone comes back and says, well, you know, Michael Jordan's father was murdered and he left basketball for 2 years to go play baseball because of that, because he was in a bad mental place at that point, and kind of comparing. It's not something that I think, even if you got the most honest moment from Simone Biles right now, it's not something that she would prefer to do, to go to the Olympics, take someone else's spot, and then immediately withdraw after one event. And I'm sympathetic to the pressure that she faces, and certainly I understand her greatness in her sport,
sure,
and all of that. But I think you just get, you know, I can't even tweet anything. If I said Simone Biles quit, you know, I tweeted that out, for instance, I'm getting, you know, lauded by some for speaking the truth. And then a few other people have a huge problem with the word quit. Well, guys, she quit. You can call it withdrawal, whatever you want. She quit the event. That's not me saying that she's the worst human ever for quitting in the team event, but that's technically what happened. People sometimes now have a problem with words when you say it, but that is exactly what she did. She quit for whatever reason. If you agree with it, disagree it, whatever. She quit, and that's sort of the bottom line with it. But again, yes, she has every right to quit, and I think that people have, you know, every right to have their own opinion about whether or not she's bailed out on her teammates or not.
Well, the another issue at play here is, and this is a constant struggle for anybody in the sports opinion business, right, is who is, you know, who is immune from criticism and who is not. Like, these are young girls. A lot of times they're not professional athletes. Nobody balks at criticizing Tom Brady or LeBron James or Max Scherzer, right? These are elite professional athletes. They're paid a lot of money. It goes with the territory. But most of us try and stay away from criticizing high school athletes or something. But this is in that gray area in between. I don't think many people are lining up to criticize the average gymnast. We're not talking about the average gymnast. We're talking about the greatest of all time, a household name. Everybody knows who this person is. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, she's obviously the best, but she's also not immune from criticism. I think that's something that some people struggle with as well.
And I think, Russell, if you're going to be touted as the greatest of all time, and people are going to say, look, this is amazing, men aren't doing this in this sport, she ranks right up there with the greatest, you know, male athletes of all time, men and women are equal, all that is great. Well, when you do that, you also are open to criticism. So if you're going to tout that, and a lot of people in my timeline that tout that will also then come back and say, well, you can't criticize someone who's been the victim of abuse in the past, and you don't know her situation. I don't know her situation. And I think what happened to all the U.S. gymnastics athletes is terrible. But you can't have it both ways. You can't put someone even with the greatest athletes of all time, and then when something happens like them quitting, withdrawing, whatever you want to say, from an event happens on the biggest stage, then say, well, that person's immune to criticism. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not an elite athlete. You can't say one way or the other what's going on. Exactly. I'm a firm believer that if we're going to treat people equally, which that's what I want, that's what should happen, men, women, everything else, then I'm going to talk about female athletes the same way I would men. And I'm going to talk about the greatest in their sports history the same as I would men. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And some people are going to take issue with that, but you know what? I don't care. That's just the way it's going to be. And that's the way, honestly, it should be for everyone if we're going to preach equality.
Hey, Chad, last thing, we'll let you run here. Give us the word on Titans camp as they get started. Second year in a row, just huge expectations on the Titans. Certainly making the playoffs is kind of the floor when you talk about expectations. What's the buzz around Titans training camp after the first day or two?
I mean, they had their first practice open to the media today. And it's defense, because you got to see if they're going to improve on defense, because they were so bad there a year ago. You know, there's guys that are coming back from injury, so it's tough to know right now. They haven't put the pads on yet as well. Julio Jones, obviously, a big talking point for this Titans team. For some reason, there's this big question of, you know, is Derrick Henry going to fall off the cliff this year? I don't think that we're to that point yet with Derrick Henry. I understand the concern with the running back position. But, I mean, to boil it down to the simplest part of this team, it's very simply the offense without Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, who left to take the Falcons head coaching job. Can they continue to plug right along and even improve with the addition of Julio Jones, which I think they can? And then can the defense get to the middle of the league? Can they go from 30th in the NFL to 16th or 17th? If so, this is a team that could win a Super Bowl. And I think that is the expectation for Titans fans. Be right there in the mix. Be one of the best teams in the AFC. And if that defense can improve just to get to the middle of the pack, I think they have a legitimate shot to do so.
Good stuff, Chad. As always, check out Outkick 360. You can hear it right here on Fan Run Radio, 8 to 10 p.m. every evening here on Fan Run. They've got a great podcast. You can go check that out as well. Chad, appreciate your time. Stay cool out there in the Mid-State.
Always appreciate you guys. Love being on in Knoxville on your station, and have me on whenever you want. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, making his presence felt this afternoon. And, yeah, man, Titans, very exciting stuff as NFL training camps underway all across the nation right now. You've got the Aaron Rodgers saga continuing to play out, the Deshaun Watson thing down in
That's just weird, man.
What a mess.
Yeah. You're getting your hopes up again, I can tell, about Titans, aren't you?
I mean, no more than last year. They're going to be a good team. Are they a Super Bowl team? I don't know. And it's the NFL, man. It's screwy, you know. Tannehill breaks his leg in the first game of the season, and it's over, right? So you got to have some luck. But I think what he said there about the defense is like, can you go from one of the worst defenses in the league right to just average? That's worth a couple of wins right there in and of itself. You probably would have beaten Baltimore in the playoffs last year if you just had average defense, even if your offense is struggling. So, the Watson thing, man, has there been an athlete in recent memory to within 12 months have a bigger fall from grace than him? Think about last year. This time last year, he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's about to sign that huge extension. Good guy in the community. Everybody loves him, doing things the right way. He's a superstar.
I'd be hard-pressed to name one with the kind of star power he had.
I mean, fast forward to today, and his name is Mud.
That always reminds me of what's the name of that band? Les Claypool, Primus.
Oh, My Name Is Mud.
Yeah.
I can't,
honest to God, I can't think of anybody who's had a more precipitous fall than this guy. And they're just going to roll him out there. It's a horrible look for the NFL.
I don't think they're going to play him. Apparently,
you think they're going to start Tyrod Taylor?
Well, he's just showing up to avoid being fined.
Yeah.
Because the money's important to him now, because he doesn't know if he's ever going to play again, right? So he's just showing up to get fined. And apparently he's walking out the facility there telling people that, hey, I'm only here so I don't get fined. He's like Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. And he's walking around telling people that. So he's being disruptive in the facility. And the Texans you're not going to get fair trade value for him, because nobody knows if he's going to play. Even if you thought you could get past all the baggage, right? And he's just a great player, and we need a great quarterback. Even if you don't know if he could go to prison. And here's the thing: at the very least, you know, where's the NFL in this? We talk about the NCAA. Where's the NCAA? Where's the leadership? Where is Roger Goodell stepping in right here?
Why has he not been placed on that commissioner's list that they put guys on that are in spots like this?
I don't know, man. It is absolutely bizarre. Almost enough to make a Titans fan feel sorry for the Texans. Almost.
Nah. He did this to himself, dude.
Not quite, though. Stay with us. I think TJ, the Kentucky fan's still there. We're going to get him in here. He's been hanging on forever. Got a couple open lines if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200. Your phone call is coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
If you own a business...
The drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake back with you on a scorcher Wednesday afternoon. Let's get right to these phone lines, which are buzzing as you would expect here today on Fan Run Radio. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Real quick, a few things. 2007. I don't know why, but I saw a picture today of the BCS standings of week 8 in 2007. Ohio State, South Florida, Boston College, LSU, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Kentucky. 2007 was the craziest year in college football. You had the number one team lose like 4 or 5 times in that season. You had the number two team lose 6 weeks in a row in that season. A two-loss team won the national championship. Absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah. That was nuts. And, I mean, Tennessee probably would have been in that playoff scenario as well. Barry kind of played ourselves in a 9-3, but beat Kentucky on the last day of the season in overtime. Went to the SEC championship game with a chance to knock off LSU. Remember, Mauch was out for that game, and they started Ryan Perilou, and Tennessee probably should have won that one as well, but a missed opportunity. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a whole lot of different teams with some access here, and that could be fun for sure.
And here's the thing about Simone Biles. I have 2 daughters. Maybe it's because I'm a girl dad. But she did quit. But everybody's looking at, she quit. Nobody's looking at why she quit. After she did her trick or whatever they call it. I'm not a gymnastic person. You could see her mouth to her trainer, "I don't trust myself." Now, I don't know if anybody's ever done gymnastics or even done a flip, but if you do a flip wrong, you will break your neck. You will die. You will break your leg. You will break your arm. You will break anything doing what these girls do. And if they're not there mentally, that's more physically dangerous to them than quitting on their team. And let's not act like this chick did not get sexually abused. I don't know how many people out there have been truly sexually abused, but it, I'm sure, messes you up in the head for your entire life. So I'm all for it. Let her get mentally stable. Maybe this will get more sports stars to step away from the game if they have to, instead of going on killing sprees or whatever they have to do to justify themselves later on in life.
Yeah, well, we certainly don't want anybody doing that. I thought what Chad said was that she had a mental problem that could have led to a physical problem, right? I mean, I think that kind of, because I'm like you, man, I don't know anything about gymnastics, right? And I'm still not exactly clear on exactly everything that went down. But yeah, I mean, if she thought that if she even attempted to do this, that she was going to break a leg or worse out there, then yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody should expect her to go out there. It just seems like maybe there was at some level by some person, whether it's her coach, the organization that runs it or something, that could have been handled better at some point, because it basically cost them a gold medal, right? I mean, they won the silver, and if she performs at her peak, like, they win the gold, right?
Yeah, but if she hadn't pulled out, they wouldn't have medaled. They counted her scores.
Mm.
That's the other thing nobody's really talking about. I mean, I understand it. I'm more with TJ. I mean, the kind of stunts that you know these athletes are pulling off, you definitely don't want to be running as fast as you can onto that vault and hurling yourself up in the air if you're not, you know, completely focused and locked in. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's complicated. And like you said, Russ, you know, hindsight being 2020, they definitely could have handled it a lot better.
But it would have
protected her, and you know, not look as bad as it does. So
when you're a hardcore sports fan, right, you celebrate that savage mentality, which I don't know if it's necessarily healthy, but we do. You know, Michael Jordan would you know, pile drive his own grandmother to win an NBA championship.
In gymnastics in 96, like Carrie Strug going out there with basically her ankle was you know, held together with tape. Everything was just shredded. And she went out there and nailed her vault and won gold. You know, that's kind of what we expect.
I mean, Conor McGregor in that fight where he broke his ankle, he had apparently had a hairline fracture in training. He knew that he could have a broken leg when he went out there, and he's out there kicking a guy in a UFC fight with essentially what's a broken leg. And it broke on him. Yeah. And we celebrate that mentality, right? And we expect it, especially when you get to the Olympic level, and when it doesn't happen and somebody steps away, it's kind of shocking. Anything else, TJ?
Yeah, speaking of a broke leg real quick, if Ryan Tannehill does break his leg week one, I'm calling back and I'm roasting you. Go Titans.
No more broken leg references for the rest of the show. I'm calling a moratorium. Oh, man, beautiful day out here. Old Ben Franklin Motors, folks.
What do they got on the lot? Anything really cool?
Anything really cool.
Well, I mean, I know he does, but Jamie's always got that one thing that makes me drool, like the Alabama special.
Alabama special.
Yeah, he's always got one car out there. It looks like if you were a running back, like a 5-star running back, that'd be what you'd be given to coming to play for Alabama.
Maybe we can do that now. As far as I know, that's as long as all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, that's perfectly legal. As long as you get out there and cut a commercial or something. No, man, they got a lot of stuff. The 2021s are here. The new Mitsubishis, the Mirage, the Eclipse, the Outlander. If you're looking for a great used car, truck, van, SUV, you might have heard that supply is low around town. Used cars, particularly, people are having trouble keeping them in supply. Not here at Old Ben. If you are in the market for a new or used car, your search starts and stops right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, right across Franklin Square, as we'll be broadcasting here till 6 p.m. I've got another family four-pack of Tennessee Smokies tickets to give to the next person to walk through the doors here this afternoon. Fan Run Radio, you want to go see the Smokies on a home game of your choice, stop by 9711 Kingston Pike. Let me know you're listening. We'll hook you up. Jake Miller's going to hook it up with the top four at four coming up next. Stay with us. Fan Run Radio continues next.
Apex Pest Control.